thankful for that. I'm always glad to be here and happy to be here and count it a great privilege to be able to be among those of my precious faith. And so I appreciate you being here. I mentioned to you last week that sermons are always better to be preached when there are folks who are gathered together to listen to them. So I appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope that we make you feel comfortable and that you'll want to come back every opportunity that you have. We encourage you to take your Bible out. We have no creed books, no laws or bylaws, no catechisms, no manuals of faith or discipline, just simply the Bible. And I'll do my very best to give you nothing but what the Bible says, a book, chapter, and verse for everything that I say. I'm not going to tell you what I think or how I feel about it. Now, if later after the lesson you ask me what my opinion is about something, I might give that to you. That's what you're asking for, but I'll ask you if you want my thoughts before I give them to you. And so, you ask me anything that you'd like to ask. And for every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. And we're thankful for the Word of God and what it does for us. It's the only book that will take us from this earth life to an eternity with God when this life is over, if we'll read it, believe it, and obey it. And so, I ask you to take your Bible out. We're continuing this series on prayer. This is our third lesson in this series, or the fourth rather, and we'll have at least a couple of more. Recall that our first lesson was just dealing with what the Bible says concerning prayer in general. And then our second lesson was taken from the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, and as we talked about the model prayer and some lessons learned from the model prayer. And then our third lesson was taken from Luke, the 18th chapter, as we talked about two prayers and two lessons, the publican and the Pharisee. This morning we're going to talk about Paul's prayer list. And then we're going to talk about, in the next lesson, Lord willing, Paul's prayer request. And then we'll finish this series by talking about Jesus, our Savior, a man of prayer. And I hope that the lessons have been beneficial to you. Appreciate the good job in the scripture reading that was done before us this morning as Braden stood before us. We thank him for doing that. Did a good job. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 17, pray without ceasing, Paul wrote to those of Thessalonica. In the book of James, chapter 5, and in verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one toward another, to another. Pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is power in prayer. You agree with that? We can't pray too much. Now, we can pray too little, not enough, but we certainly can't pray too much. And so I hope that we'll be busy about praying. I want us to think about, as we've looked at Paul before and we've made comments about Paul's life, a man that persecuted the church, but then obeyed the gospel and went about proclaiming the gospel that once he tried to destroy, Galatians 1 and Galatians chapter 2 talks about. And here was a man that wrote nearly half of the New Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. He wrote at least 13 of them, 14 if he wrote the book of Hebrews, but we don't know if he did or not because he doesn't identify the book, doesn't, that he wrote it. So a man who wrote nearly half the New Testament was busy about praying for other people. I'm impressed with that. I'm impressed with the fact that Jesus was busy about praying. Here was the Son of God, a man who came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19, verse 18, and yet he was busy about praying for people. Paul was praying for individuals and situations. And we do ourselves good if we take note of those that would be on Paul's prayer list. This morning we had read in our hearing a prayer list. Those who made requests for prayer, which brings to my mind, lest I forget, sometimes my forgetter outweighs my remember. I didn't mention this morning to Greg, and I should have. A lady had called who listens to our radio program that you support, and I appreciate you doing that. Listens to it every Sunday, she says. She's from Letcher County. She gave me her name, and I cannot remember what it was right off. Did not want to give me her daughter's name, but wanted us to keep the situation in our prayers. Her daughter is expecting, And the father of the child is trying to talk this girl into having an abortion. The grandmother, soon-to-be grandmother, is upset about that, and rightfully ought to be, and requests that we pray for that situation, that things will go well. She has a doctor's appointment, if it's not already taken place, but if not, it's soon to be, in which, if things go as according to that appointment, this lady who called said that this girl would be given medication that would abort the pregnancy. And so we need to keep that in our situation. Jill talked about the sin that abounds so many times among us, just out in the open and sometimes not in the open. But we certainly need to keep that in our prayers. But as you think about Paul's prayer list and our list that we had this morning, individuals that request prayer. We pray for the sick. We pray for the weak. We pray for the fallen. We pray for families of those that have lost loved ones. And the list goes on, and we ought to do that, and it's important for us to pray. You know, if you cataloged individuals to whom Paul wrote and said, I'm praying for you, in essence, and make a good sermon, at least I hope it will. I enjoyed putting it together, and I hope that it would benefit each of us. The first one that I want us to think about, and we're just going to go down the list. As we think about Paul's prayer list, we're going to begin in the book of Romans and go through the epistles that Paul penned and the times that he mentions, I'm praying for you. And then to notice the things of which Paul is praying for. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul is writing to the saints who are at Rome, Romans chapter 1 and in verse 7. And I want you to notice with me, beginning in chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ. If you want to outline, there's some the top left in the back where they typically are, that you might add to these or study them further. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, you may be established. Paul, and we know that Paul was in Rome because as the book of Acts closes, Paul is in Rome. And you read about that in Acts, the 28th chapter. And Paul had concern for these Christians to whom he's now writing this epistle. Paul, what is your prayer unto God for them? Now, we've talked about the fact that our prayers are directed to God. That's who we pray to, through Jesus Christ. And as a result of what He did, we have access to our Father. Paul, what are you praying for? Well, Paul says, I pray for all of you. I'm impressed with that because sometimes we might find ourselves, and I think this was mentioned this morning, we might find ourselves praying for individuals within the congregation but forgetting to pray for others. And Paul says, I pray for all of you. When is the last time, and what I say to you, I say to me, and what I ask you, I ask with myself, beginning, when is the last time we, you, me, all of us, pray for all the members here? Do we do that? Do we pray for specific situations, but in general, the entire congregation? Paul did. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I wonder how it was spoken of throughout the whole world. Maybe they had a Facebook page. Maybe they had a YouTube channel or a website. Maybe they had Twitter and sent out tweets or whatever some of this other stuff is. No, we're talking about during a time when those things did not exist. And yet Paul says, I'm thankful to God without ceasing for all of you, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You think about where Paul journeyed. We're going down the list of these places that many times he went to. And as Paul traveled, and then he ends up going to Rome, he could say, as he wrote a letter to them, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I wonder if folks know about our work here. How would you respond to that? Well, we know that they do to, at least to an extent, and maybe even as far as what we're even aware of. Because of what you support Ross Triplett and the work that he does, and he's living in Oklahoma. And as a result of the work that you're doing, the support that you're supplying, he's able to do what he's doing. And you support a man all the way down in South America, Juan Canelo. I think it was yesterday, I just got his, he usually sends me a report. I do, and I'll admit this, need to get those updated in the forum so that you can read about those, but he sends those reports so that you can know about the work that he's engaged in doing as a result of what you're doing. And then again, I'll remind you, as I do frequently, the TV program that you support, and we don't know how many people watch that, 30-minute radio program that you support, we don't know how many people are listening to that. 2 15-minute programs, I know folks are listening to that because they call me, but yet I don't know how many people are listening to that. Now, are we bragging about that? No. We're just thankful to God for the opportunity to do what we can do as we strive to teach others the gospel. And Paul tells those at Rome, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I can't help but to think of those of Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians, as you turn over there, and just notice what Paul says to them. And Paul was thankful for them too, but notice what he says. And we'll pick a point up in another point concerning them, but I want you to notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and then verse 6 beginning. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You know, these folks in Thessalonica were examples to all the people round about them. That's what the Bible says. Then he goes on to say, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Every place, he says, your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that really we don't even need to say anything about it because others know about it. I'm impressed with that. When the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a table, and it gives light to all that are in the room. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give you a pat on the back. That's not what he said, right? Let men see your good works that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as also we to see you. Well, preacher, how does that fit? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Or 1 Thessalonians, rather, chapter 3 and in verse 6. To Paul's request, or list in Romans chapter 1. Because Paul goes on to say that I long to see you. I want to see you. I can think about people that I've worked with along the way, and I'm sure you can too. Work alongside of in the kingdom, trying to spread the gospel, and it's good to hear from them or to see them again. And we do long to see individuals with whom we've worked with and labored with. But Paul, if you were to catalog Paul's prayer list, you'd have to put those at Rome on the list. A lot more could be said about all of these, but for sake of time, we're moving on. You can pick up an outline. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 4, here's Paul writing to another place that he had visited. And we know that he was at Corinth because we read the divine account in Acts the 18th chapter. And by the way, when folks want to use passages, for example, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, when Paul said, for Christ sent me to baptize, sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And they say, ha ha, preacher, or ha ha, Blaine, I've got one. Here's a verse that says that baptism is really not important. It's not essential because Christ didn't send Paul to baptize but to preach. One, that's not what he's saying, that baptism is not important. That's not essential. But they had a problem with bickering and division. And Paul's addressing that in chapters 1 and chapter 3. And if you want to give them some divine commentary on it, then take them over to Acts chapter 18 when we've got the divine commentary on their conversion. The Bible says in Acts 18 and verse 8 that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, were baptized. Why did Paul do a thing in Acts chapter 18 that he would turn right around in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and say, didn't need to do? Not important. But anyway, he's writing to these at Corinth. And notice verse 4. He says, I thank my God. You're going to see something that's common to nearly every one of these, if not all of them. Is Paul saying that I'm continually doing it? I'm not ceasing. Remember our passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And we know without grace we can't be saved. We know that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 talks about that. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 and in verse 17. The grace of God which brings salvation has appeared unto all men, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11. And Paul says to them, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace, for the favor, for the blessings that they didn't deserve, but God gave of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come behind to no gift, lacking or wanting for the coming of our Lord, or waiting rather, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing to them and he's saying, I'm thanking God always for you, on your behalf, for the grace of God, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. The Bible has a lot to say about utterance and about knowledge, of which was talked about some in the Bible class this morning. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2. Knowledge is something that's to be added along the way. We're to grow in it. Take your Bibles and come over to what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice what he says in verse 5 again. Beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Then he goes on to talk about some other things that are to be added. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, but he that lacketh these things, lacketh what things? The things he just talked about, including knowledge. If you lack these things, you are blind and cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten that you are purged from your old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul, what are you thanking God for those at Corinth? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you might be enriched by Him. And also, Paul makes mention of something he's praying concerning them. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 7. 13 and in verse 7. When Paul says, now I pray to God, as he's closing out this letter, now I pray to God. Watch this. That you do no evil. That you do no evil. And the things that Paul's writing to these Christians, we could take note of for application to ourselves. Increase in knowledge, increase in utterance, that we would proclaim the gospel of Christ with boldness when we have opportunity, that we would do no evil. that which is contrary to what God would have us to do, like is listed in Galatians chapter 5 when he talks about the works of the flesh. But then also, I'll give you a couple more references concerning that. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, when he talks about doing wrong, you don't like coming to the light, lest your deeds are made known, the evil. And Matthew chapter 12 and then verse 35 talks about bringing forth that from an evil heart. Now, those are not on the outline. You know how I know those? I listened to the Bible class this morning and jotted them down. Figured I'd remind you what was brought before you this morning. Still talked about John 3 and Matthew 12 talks about evil. So here's your two more points to go along with that point. But then also, not only for those at Rome and those at Corinth, but as you go down the list, those at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul was at Ephesus. We read about that in Acts the 19th chapter. And notice what he says to those at Ephesus, Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, we talked about faith. We mentioned that as we talked about those at Rome. And those at Thessalonica, but Paul mentioned something else concerning those at Ephesus. I heard of your faith in the Lord, now watch this, and love unto all saints. And Paul says, and I heard about that, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, make a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul would write in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As you think about understanding and knowledge and revelation, Paul's writing during a time when the Word of God was not completely revealed. It is today, but not at the time that he penned these books of the New Testament. And today, if we want to know what was revealed unto the apostles, guess what we have to do? Are you listening? We've got to read what they wrote. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5 talks about that. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I've already talked about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, and then verse 18. So Paul prayed concerning those at Rome, those at Corinth, those at Ephesus. Number four, those at Philippi. Paul was at Philippi. Chief part of that of Macedonia, Acts chapter 16. And you recall reading in Acts chapter 16 about Lydia and about the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. You come over to the book of Philippians, notice as you think about Paul's prayer list, what he prayed for concerning them. In Philippians chapter 1, begin with verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine. Now watch this, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, when Paul talks about, I'm making mention to God always for you, upon every remembrance, making requests with joy for your fellowship. We've studied about the word fellowship before, a joint participation. A sharing together, mutually doing something. And by the way, when it's used in the New Testament, it's used of spiritual things, not coffee and donuts, by the way, or a room that says fellowship hall on it, but of a spiritual affairs. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first until now. Paul, what do you mean? How did they have a joint participation with you in the gospel? I want you to come over to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and Paul's going to talk about what they did. Excuse me. Philippians chapter 4, begin with verse 10. had an invitation Wednesday night about the truth and what can be done. In truth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We talked about things done with truth, but verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In either of these situations, abounding or lacking, I can get through it because Jesus is on my side. Jesus cares for me. That's a point that he's making in verse 13. Notwithstanding, you have well done. Now he's writing, same book, same group of Christians that we just read about that he prayed for because of their fellowship with him in the gospel. Now notice what he says. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Paul says, no church communicated unto me concerning giving and receiving at first except for you. And you sent time and again, once and again, to my necessity. And so they had this fellowship, this joint participation in the work that Paul was doing. And I made mention of how you're doing that with two preachers away from here and then with me. And I appreciate that. And as a result of what I'm doing and what you're doing, we're laboring together in the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9. Paul didn't always take wages, by the way. He had a right to, he had authority to, but he didn't always do it. And you can read about why. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, I may have told you chapter 8, but it's chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, I robbed other churches. Now that doesn't mean he went out and thieved. He's saying he took wages. He received wages. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I lacked or I wanted, but I wasn't chargeable to, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Now, Paul had those who sent to his necessity. And in here, Paul's writing these at Corinth, and he says, I took wages, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them in order to do you service. And he was thankful for those at Philippi, but also those at Colossae. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I'm thankful for your faith. We've talked about that relative to some of these other places. I'm thankful for your love that you have to all the saints. In the book of John, chapter 15, the Lord gives a command. In the context, he's talking to the apostles. But it's not limited to the apostles, certainly not when you think about what's stated in other passages concerning the same thing. In John chapter 15 and in verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now that qualifies the love of which He's commanding them to have. You love one another. How much love, Lord? He says, as I've loved you. Well, how much is that? Read the next verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. You know what Jesus did? Laid His life down for all mankind. And He's saying, you have love for your brethren, for one another. Well, is there any other verses talk about that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, and a host of other passages. As you think about what John would pen in 1 John, sometimes called the epistle of love, because he talks about love so often and so much. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. A good way to remember that is, you know, John 3:16 talks about God's love for the world. Just remember 1 John 3:16, and you'll read about God's love again and the love that we ought to have. But He goes on to say, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Paul says, I'm thankful for you to those at Colossae. And then those at Thessalonica. As we read about a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, but Paul didn't mention that point specifically in prayer. But he did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 2 and in verse 3 and in verse 5, chapter 5 and in verse 23. So several times in this book, Paul makes mention of the fact that I'm thankful for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Again, in chapter 5 and in verse 23, you can pick up another point in your own time. We won't go there and look at that one for sake of time, but notice what he says, the work and the labor and the patience. You're working. I think about, when I think about work and I think about labor, I think about the letters to the seven churches of Christ in Asia, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The rebuke and the commendation that the Lord would give them because of their labor. You're working, you're laboring, your patience. The word patience is used in the King James Version. Some other versions may use the word endurance. That actually means a cheerful endurance, constancy, enduring, steadfastness. And Paul says, I'm thankful for that. I'll give you the passage for this next point, 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul is writing to, of course, Timothy, an individual. And he writes to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And he says, I thank God whom I serve with my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Another example, as we think about Paul's prayer list, another example of Paul saying, I want to see you. I long to see you. Remember his prayer again for those at Rome. I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. And he goes on to say that they might be edified by mutual faith. Last point. When Paul writes to Philemon, not Philemon, but Philemon. In Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, And I'll correct myself. If you're referring to the book of Philemon, you would not say chapter 1. There isn't but one chapter. And so, it's just Philemon verses 4 and 5. Like Jude, right? One chapter. You wouldn't say Jude chapter 1, but just Jude. But he goes on, Philemon, he says in verses 4 and 5, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. We've talked about love toward one another. We've talked about faith that some of these others had. But here he says of thy faith, thy love, which thou had toward the Lord Jesus. I hope that we love the very one that laid his life down for us and died on the cross. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and in verse 15. Herein is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5 and in verse 3. There may be others along the way that I didn't include on the list. You're welcome to let me know about those, or take a list, take a sermon outline in the back and add to it, that you might have these and study them further and see if these things be so. I'm thankful, I'm encouraged as we think about Paul's prayer list. And then as great of a man as Paul was, and again writing nearly half the New Testament, Paul wasn't too good to request prayer. And we'll talk about that in our next lesson as we talk about Paul's prayer request. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, God's blessed you with an opportunity. Don't spurn it. Don't turn it away. You may not have another one. You might. You might not. The only way to become a child of God, to be a Christian, is to do what they did in New Testament times to become one. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. John 8:24. Repenting, turning, changing your mind about what you've been doing, from the ways of the world to do what is right. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. I didn't come up with that. It's not my words, it's what the Bible says. And if you want to be a Christian, you got to do what God says to do to become a Christian. You agree? Nothing more, nothing less. Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that in the past, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. You want to be restored. God's made provision for that. That the erring child of God can be restored. Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we'll confess those things unto God in prayer, having repented of them, and He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't delay. Come right now.